Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 96 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40K experience. I'm Denise, and on part one of this two-part episode, we are joined by the TO, one of the TOs of The Normal Blokes GT, Ben Warrior. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, good, good. Just another day in paradise this Monday night. So, look, we've got Ben on to go through some lists on the GT. You know, thank you for everyone who submitted their lists on time, who's listening. And it's a really cool field, a bit of diversity, and especially some of the new books that we'll go through. And the second part of this episode, the boys will be going through the round one pairings that we'll randomize in a moment. But Ben, you've been on the show before, of course. Tell us a little about yourself and your position as TO.
Yeah, hi guys. So as Denise said, I've been on a couple of times before. I've been playing 40K for about 15 years now. Part of the greater Normal Blokes gaming group. Like to play a variety of armies. We've been on Sisters recently, but just moved on to the new Grey Knight Codex because it was my first army and I love Dread Knights. Building my fifth one as we speak. So I've got, you know, a few.
Nice. And look, in terms of experience TOing, you helped us a lot last year with the Brisbane GT, the streaming side and the TOing side. So it's fitting that we've got Ben and Lockie this year as our TOs. But I guess we'll go through the list, mate. So just looking at some quick and dirty stats for the Normal Blokes GT. Top factions. If you asked me what was going to be big before the event, I'd probably guess a couple of things, but of approximately 50 players, we have 5 Drakari lists, 5 Grey Knight lists, 4 Death Guard lists, yeah, 3 Sisters lists, 3 quote-unquote Adeptus Astartes, but adding them up, there's about 7. And then it's a mix of other factions, got some Orc lists, got some Tyranid lists. But look, I guess our top 3, Drakari, Grey Knights, Death Guard, what are your thoughts, Benny?
Look, I think it's pretty expected, to be honest. Grey Knights being one of the new codex, how prevalent Drakari have been, especially around Brisbane. We've got quite a few Drakari players. I know Sam, Brian, even Luke's been known to dabble, Simon, all that sort of stuff. And then Death Guard have been pretty relevant since their new book as well, so it doesn't really surprise me. It's what I'd probably expect.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm pretty keen to see how some of these guys go. And, you know, looking at who we've got on the field, a lot of our players are local Queensland players. We've got a couple of honourable mentions, Adam Napier and Josh from SA. Good. It's going to be great to see you guys on the weekend. And Napier being the current number one rank, I'm sure there's a few people that want that cap. But, yeah.
You guys going to do a bounty?
Hey?
You guys going to do a bounty like the uprising?
Ooh, damn. It's a good idea. We'll think about it. But I guess we've picked a few lists, Ben, to go through. Shall we start with an Orc list?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, awesome. So the French baguette himself, Alex Terrison, hitting it up with the freebooters. So have you had the pleasure of playing against the Speedwire yet, Benny?
I haven't. No, it's not something I've experienced.
Yeah. So I hit up
some terrifying things.
I hit up Alex for a game when he was like half in the buggies like mentality, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I've got the Death Watch. He's got the MSU Orcs. I'll be okay." And I wasn't okay. Like I definitely wasn't okay. But this list that he's got has turned it up to 11. So he's got a Warlord Warboss on Wartrike. With the Bad Skull banner, he's got 10 Truck Boys, which is almost a staple in Orc lists at the moment. 2x2 Squig Buggies, and they're the out of line of sight shooting, strength 5, neg 2, 2 damage guys. He's got a truck, he's got 2 Dacker Jets, and then he's got another Freebooters Outrider with a Warboss, a custom force field mech. And then we have 3 Scrap Jets, 2 Scrap Jets, 2 Scrap Jets, 5 Storm Boys, 5 Storm Boys, 3 bikes, a commando unit, a burner boys unit, which he loves. He's been trying to sell it to every Orc player he can talk to. And that's that. So you've got some OBSEC infantry, you've got truck boys that can come out and steal your objectives. You've got some storm boys for actions, but then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 buggies, 2 Dacker Jets, and a Wartrike. This is a lot of shooting, Benny.
Yeah, it's also, I'm guessing, if I understand Orcs right, pretty survivable with Ramshackle, right? Like, unless you're pumping Strength 8, it's going to be taking next to damage.
Yeah, man.
Incoming fire.
It's definitely one of those lists that if you go into it without the tools to kind of kill everything or at least neuter everything or tie everything up quite quickly, it starts to fall over pretty quick. Now, it's interesting, he's leaned away from the big squig lads, but he's gone more the Speedwire route. Now, for those who are listening and haven't played against Speedwire, or the way the Orcs work now, is when they call the Wire or the Speedwire, there's two effects. The one effect, the first effect is you get extra shots on DACA weapons, and then the other effect is you get extra AP on your guns. So, you know, these DACA jets, we're used to them just doing nothing, but they roll up with, I think it's like 42 shots, is it, Ben? Like with six DACA guns.
Something like that.
A lot of shots. So I guess a plan for this kind of list is the buggies, because they already get, you know, hitting on fours. The squig buggies can shoot out a line of sight, kill a unit, and then the army just procs a +1 to hit. And then you've got these DACA jets that are hitting on fours with all these shots. And then it goes to like strength 6, -2/1 damage. So even if you're a storm shield or someone in cover, you're getting pushed to your three ups, and then you're just failing wounds. So, no, I love it. This is definitely not a list I want to play against, and I'm actually really keen to see how Alex does. We've got a couple other Orc players, Nick Wright and Paul Gurney, who are running, you know, a buggy style list with a few different tools. But yeah, I'm really keen to see how Alex goes. Anything to add there, Benny?
Yeah, I really like this list because, you know, he's lent into the Speedwire, but he's not gone full ball. Like, he's still got the commanders there for your pre-game deny, like movement denies. He's still got the strats where he can make things more survivable, be that next to hit with your speed freaks or your force field on your mech. It's just it's got all the tools, like, you know, the outer line of sight shooting from the squid buggies. It's quick, the truck boys for, as you said, getting out and stealing objectives, just can hit you where you don't expect it because it's so quick. But it's still got like the 1%ers that can take a good list and make it great by, as I say, having the commandos there for stopping the pre-game moves or the infiltrates if he gets the first drop. Like, just makes it harder for these little 50-point units that, you know, don't really do all that much once the game's, you know, commenced, but just changes the way people have to, you know, interact with this list.
Yeah, that's it. Like, they can't rely on just diving and hitting it hard before it gets moving. And also, exactly like you said, Ben, it's got tools to play its own game with, like engage all fronts, retrieve Octarius data, stuff like that. And then it's got tools like the truck boys and the storm boys, which they're not obsec here, but the truck boys, to jump out and, you know, tag objectives, remove primary, take down banners. So you can't like try and weather this without meeting it. So yeah. I really like it. I'm keen to see how he does.
Alex has been very kind to put on his list his big strat, so he can make any of his infantry units obsec. So
yes.
You know, he's only got a couple, but in the right spots, they're going to really fuck with people.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, and he's got the access to like the -1 to hit on the buggies and things like that, like he's listed, which is really cool. But hey, you wanted to cover a list and a player that's very close to your heart, Benny.
Oh, yeah, he's about as close as another person can be, being my hobby husband. So that would be Liam Hackett's Cult of the Clock at Thousand Suns list. So the reason I picked this one is because, you know, T-Suns are a newer book. People might not have been able to play against them. So just, you know, let you in on some of the nastier tricks or some things that people might not know. So hopefully I don't give away all Liam's tricks, but letting people have a heads up for what he might be trying to pull, I think would be pretty good. So it's a Cult of Time battalion, so that's the one that you can bring models back. It's got Araman, which he looks like he's been set up as a mortal wounds battery, an Exalted Sorcerer on foot, who's more of a buff character with the new Dark Matter Crystal. Mm-hmm. And then he's got 50 rubrics in units of 10 with a Soul Reaper inch. And then 10 Scar of Occult tooled up with all the buff, so he's got the two of the Soul Reapers, the two and Hellfire, so he's got them on the same model. So, and then two Chaos Rhinos just for a bit of transport and maybe a bit of speed. So, you know, a lot of people have been saying that T-Sun's, you know, not the most powerful book, but high skill cap. So, this can get pretty much anywhere. You know, it's got access to the new warp time. Can't remember what the T-Sun's called, temporal surge or whatever it is. So even though you know they're only 6-inch movements, you're doubling that even without an advance. So it's deceptively quick, and it's got the dark matter crystal as well. So the redeploy by teleport. So it's durable infantry obsec. It's coming for your objectives. I think it's going to be a bit of a sleeper.
You know what? You know what I love, Ben? This looks like a fun little take all comers, like demi company, like 50 Marines and some Terminators and some characters and a couple of Rhinos. It looks nice and fun, and then Liam's going to do some stupid shit with it, isn't he?
It's the Liam we know and love.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of his Necron list that he's played recently, except he swapped the Immortals for Rubrics, and they're just better.
Yeah, look, it's a pretty apt comparison, to be honest. And, you know, with the two new books, the Grey Knights and the T-Suns, you know, they're both psychic armies. But from what I've read and what I've seen, the T-Suns definitely dominate in the psychic phase. So the Cabal, Cabalistic rituals, you know, making powers undeniable, making powers auto-cast, it's just that little bit of reliability that, you know, you don't want to fail that crew. You know, we've all had that, or we failed that crucial power. You know, we didn't get a warp time off, or, you know, it completely messes with your whole battle plan, whereas this just gives you that extra reliability where you can guarantee things.
And you're right. And just having that plus one, as well as, like, the bonus on the character when he casts, on a 9-up, he can cast another spell. That's really nice. And Ahriman getting another plus one is just beautiful. So anything on him just goes off.
Yeah, he's only got the plus one, but he rerolls all.
Oh, that's the one. He rerolls. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So he rerolls all denies and psychic tests. So he's casting three, denying three. So it's pretty filthy. And then you've got all the extra strats that they can do. So, you know, deny, like most strats are like cast on 3d6 or deny on 3d6, pick the highest, whereas the T-Sun's deny is just deny on 3d6. Like, it's going to be pretty hard to not deny that crucial power, like I don't know, like a null zone or a gate that your opponent's trying to do. It's just going to be, oh, no, not letting you have that. No.
Jesus. Well, look, I'm really looking forward to see how it does. And, you know, I'm happy at this stage that I've taken a librarian out of my list so I can take a Bull the Witch against some of these GK and T-Suns list, mate. So, yeah. But, hey, we'll move on, I guess, to an AdMech list. And I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about an AdMech list considering how well they're doing. But we're going to go to the reigning champion of last year's Brisbane GT, Dan Savage. So, he has really interesting MSU AdMech list. He's got a brigade. He's got a brigade of Metallica. It's a Skatari veteran cohort. So essentially all the little lads get a 5-up invo. Costs a couple of points more. But starting off, we've got a Marshall with 5-point telemetry and the Metallican Lung. Metallican Lung, that's the one where he can deal mortal wounds nearby, or is that the one of the rerolls, Ben?
No, it's the enemy units within 3, your army get rerolls to wound.
Ah, rerolls. Yeah, cool, nice. Then we have a Skatari Marshal, Calculate Without Devastation. That's the CP manipulation one.
Calculate Without Devastation, that's the Doctrine Imperator manipulation. So you can pick a unit, pick a Doctrine, even if you are right. That's the CP manipulation for the Doctrine Imperators. And then the Kantic Thralnet is the... you can give a unit any doctrine, even if it's already been active.
Yeah, nice. And then we've got a Tech Priest Manipulus with the Holy Order of the Logi, so he can ignore Neg 1 and 2 on a unit. Now, it doesn't look like Dan's going for a big unit to put this on, but being able to sneakily put it on little stuff's quite nice. He's got...
It could be like a turn one for his big Raider unit, maybe?
Yeah, true, for the Doggos, yeah. That's a good play. So he's got 4 units of Rangers and 2 units of Vanguard, so I believe the... Ranger bonuses, they get cover, I think, and the Vanguard bonus, they don't get affected by blast. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
At least for the Vanguard, it is, yes. I'm not
yeah,
sure
the Vanguard, that. Yeah. And then we've got five Seeker and Infiltrators, five Infiltrators, five Ross Stalkers, so little fighty units. Units of five, you know, not the big tens, but still a bit of a threat, especially because the Infiltrators can forward deploy. And then he's got seven Sterilizers, nine Cerberus Raiders with the Skull of Elder Nicola to throw some mortal wounds, and then seven Cerberus Raiders. So a lot of boots on the ground, Benny. Three Scorpius Disintegrators and three Transports after that. So to what does this list do, Ben?
Yeah, so like I said with Alex's Orcs, man, it's got those little tools that are going to help just change the way people play against it. Like the infiltrators, aptly named, the pre-game move with the Doggos, the Raiders, it just means you can't really interact with it the way you want to interact with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's also built quite nicely around the Admech secondary for killing more infantry than you kill of his vehicles, which I could be completely wrong with, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him taking that over a few of the games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just Admech's just so powerful at the moment. Like, a lot of cool little strats. And Dan's really built into this list the CP manipulation around the strats for the Impera, the Doctrines. So as we mentioned, one of the Warlord traits or relics is that he can every time a certain Doctrine is active, he can make the corresponding strat cheaper. So he's really getting the most out of his CP.
That's cool.
Which I think we can all agree is optimizing that and getting any free CP is pretty good.
Yeah. I'm just looking at how much stuff is in this list and it's like, I can't really shoot through all that before it hits me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the three
it's also like Alex's list, it's got that little bit of out of LOS.
Yes.
Just means that you know your Nurglings, your little shit kicker units that will just sit on backfield objectives, you just can't do that and survive for the whole game. Like forcing people to put resources they'd usually have elsewhere into just holding that backfield objective. Again, just changing the way you play and you interact with the list.
Yeah, dude, that's exactly right. And, you know, those three Scorpius, a lot of people kind of disregarded them because they went down to strength five and things like that and didn't get affected by a lot of overlapping auras. But they're actually a really nice unit to have in your army into the Admech mirror because all that two damage stuff, you know, it's just strength five. So it's nice into a lot of the T3, T4 profiles and it just chips and adds up. And that, and I think sometimes like, maybe people are more ready for it with Orcs being around, but there was a moment about a month or so ago where people just weren't ready to cop that amount of out of LOS shooting. Like it does chip and add up over the game. So, look, I'm keen to see how Dan goes, if he can make his way to a second consecutive GT win. But
the way I guess I look at it is the Thunderfire cannons for a long time were very prevalent, and these are slightly less shots. But the strength five, like strength five and strength six, against most of your basic infantry, it's not really going to do. Like you're still wounding Marines on threes.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it sucks that you're not wounding like guard body or sisters on twos, but you know you can't have everything.
Yeah, but also in like the turn that he wants to, he could just stick them out and just shoot all the little missiles as well, like the Scorpius missiles, which actually add up and do a fair bit of work. So. No,
yeah, they
nice.
Still pump out a lot of shots even without the out of LOS.
Like. Yeah, that's it. Well, hey, do you want to move on to another new faction, a Grey Knight list?
Yes, we'll have a look at Mr. Argent's list. Let me just get it up. So, yeah, I tried to pick some lists that you know you guys might not have had time to play against. Nick's running Grey Knights, so the other new book. He's running a Prescient Brethren Vanguard. So this is the one with the CP farm back, psychic action. He's got Crow, Drago, because it's Drago, an Apothecary, a Paladin Ancient. So that's the banner dude. He's then got a squad of 10 Paladins, so big anvil unit. two squads of 10 purifiers, a squad of 10 interceptors, a squad of 5 interceptors, and 2 rhinos, which are obviously the purifiers, will be hopping in. So a little bit different to what I'm seeing a lot of Grey Knight. Like, there's no Strike Marines there. Obviously, the purifiers are the same body, but no OBSEC troops. You can get around that. He's got the
The Paladin Ancient.
Yes, he's got the unyielding Anvil Waller trait.
Rites of War.
So it's Rites of War, but it's better than Rites of War because they get double OBSEC if they're already OBSEC. So not relevant for this because obviously they're not OBSEC already. But yes, it is slightly better.
Now, I got two questions for you, Benny, because I know you've been working on Grey Knights. What are purifiers and what do they do?
So purifiers, they're the super pure veteran power armor Grey Knights, I guess would be the best way to describe them. So these, they have a new power. They have access to a sanctic power, which isn't available to everyone else, and it's purifying flames. It's basically a 9-inch range smite, which is 3 mortal wounds minimum, and they get a +1 to cast it. So the first one, I believe, they cast it on a 4, and then a 5, 6, 7. And Crow also has this. So okay. I would imagine he's probably combat squadding those two squads, both but leading them all in the rhinos, and then they're going to pop out, and both squads are going to cast it, and you're copping 6 mortal wounds straight up.
Yeah, wow.
And if you cast it on an 11 plus, which bear in mind they've got the +1, so it's not unreasonable. Mm-hmm. It's D3 +3. So
wow.
You've got with Crow there, if you get all 5 of them off, when you so 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you're looking at 15 mortal wounds just from those squads in the psychic phase.
Jesus, dude, that's a lot.
They've also got the they're the only ones that can do the neg 1 damage strat now. So little cheeky. And because they'll, if he's combat squadding them for, it's 1 CP, I believe. All the Grey Knights are 2 wounds now. So could be a little sneaky. You're not going to wipe even this 5-man squad because you're down to 1 damage, especially combat that with the transhuman that Grey Knights still have for old Marines, firstborn Marines. And surprisingly durable for a 5-man unit.
Well, that's scary.
he's also got that big paladin bomb.
Tell me, that's the next question I had. Like, tell me about that. Is that still viable?
There's been a bit of contention around whether things can cast multiple times. I should be more specific. They cast the same power multiple times from the same unit. Because paladins, their kind of gimmick, I guess, in this edition is that they can pick their powers from the sanctic. So if you've not looked at Grey Knights, all of the non-character units have specific powers now. They have to, they're built into the data sheets. You can't change them. They're all from the sanctic discipline and you can cast them multiple times. Like Smite, it goes up by 1 every time, but you can cast them as many times as you can roll, I guess. Like Strike Marines and Terminators have Hammer Hands, but Paladins can pick any 2. And then there's a strat for casting 1 more power. So there's been some contention as to whether a Paladin unit can cast, say, Armored Resilience twice on itself a 0 up save. Now, and after some deliberations and consultation with some of the other guys, other TOs around the planet, I guess, we've ruled that they can't. So they can only cast it once. But it's still pretty good. Like, if you're in cover or in Tide of Shadows, you're looking at a 0 up save Paladin. It's got an Apothecary nearby, so they got 6 at Feeling the Pain as well. And then, the 3 wounds each. So if you leave 1 damaged, it's going to get healed, and then he's going to res 1 as well. It's going to be a pretty hard brick to get through, especially when you consider that it's got Drago standing nearby, giving it 4 rerolls. And Drago has Sanctuary for the 4 up invo, and it's also got access to the Zone of Warding strat for the 4 up invo against shooting for the whole unit if the warding state is still alive.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, I can see that being his kind of anvil, probably stretching across maybe two objectives, like on a flank of his army, and just holding those while your purifiers and your interceptors move around and are dealing the damage.
And it'll be really interesting to see, like, if that level of durability is still enough, because we've got these crazy, you know, damage dealing units in these armies, as well as, like, you know, mortal wounds that they can cop. And yes, they have the 5-up feel no pain. But no, I'm keen to see how it goes. How are the other, just really quickly, how are the other Grey Knight lists that we're seeing? Because there's 5 of them. How do they kind of compare in general to this kind of list?
So they're all, this is probably the outlier, the anomalous result, I guess. Okay. Let me just go and have a quick look at a couple of the other ones. So we've also got Kalen Rice-Levitt playing them as well. So he looks like he's running a Dreadnought wing, which I am partial to myself. Mm-hmm. Don't know why he's put it in the Brotherhood he's put it in. For me, Dreadnought should really be in the Swordbearers Brotherhood. He's put it in the Preservers. So we're looking at like a Grandmaster, 3 Dreadnoughts with Incinerators and Psi Cannons and Swords. And then he's also got the Paladin Bomb and more. He's got the 3 Strike Squads.
Yeah.
So I myself more favor the Dreadnought and MSU style list. Yeah. The great thing about Dreadnoughts is they brought back. The great thing about Grey Knights is they brought back the old combat squad rule. So it's no longer a strat. It's just if you have 10-man squads before the game, you can break it down to 2 5-man squads, which, like, just the adaptability you can have. Like, you can have 30 Strike Marines as either, and if you're playing something like Knights where you need big units to hit things hard, because Grey Knights hit like a freight train now in combat, you can leave them as the 10-man squads. But if you're playing something with Drakari where you need that sort of MSU to combat their MSU, they can split into the 5-man squads.
Yeah, that's handy.
Zach Morgan's also playing them.
Yeah.
Very similar to...
Looking at Zach Kalen's and Josh's list, they're both very much like a bunch of Dread Knights with little MSU support, which is really cool. Yeah, nice. Well, man, I'm keen to see how these factions hold up. It sounds weird, right? It sounds like... When T-Suns and GK came out, there's a few people that were very excited, but there's also some other people that were like, oh, look, this isn't that great, coming off the coattails of things like Drakari and Admech. But look, I'm excited to see how they go. We've got the numbers at this event, I guess, of Grey Knights to give them a real indication. But yeah, Ben, anything else you want to finish on before we wrap up part one of the show?
No, I'm just pretty keen for the event. Obviously, we had that little bit of a scare with lockdown potential, so we're still, you know, wanting it to go ahead. Just obviously everyone bring the right attitude. Everyone's there to have fun, and hopefully it'll be a killer event.
Yeah, and look, if you are in Brisbane and able to, you know, come and watch and see what it's all about, come on down and check out the Normal Blokes GT. We're playing at the Brook Hotel, Mitchelton, Saturday, Sunday, kind of 9 till 5 on the Saturday, or 8 till 5, Benny, I think, on the Saturday, and similar kind of start time till about 3 on the Sunday. So, yeah, come on down, say hi, and I'm really keen to meet some newer players who are attending the event. And there's a handful of people who've messaged saying, hey, this is our first tournament, or, you know, I'm getting into this, so it'll be cool. And also the quote-unquote shark tank that is Brisbane, Australia. So
remember your mask as well.
Yeah, that's it. Remembering the mask. Thanks, Benny. But yeah, thank you for part one. Luke and Liam will be joining us on part two to discuss some other special things. But yeah, see you on the other side.
See you guys.
All right. And we're back for the second part of the episode. I'm joined by Luke.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
And Liam.
I'm free from work.
So on this second part, we've got a very exciting episode. Liam is on DUP right now. He's about to click refresh, and we're about to reveal the round one pairings for the Norm Blokes GT. Liam, are you ready?
I am super ready. And to be clear, I am super ready with the permission of our lovely TOs, Lachlan Carter and Ben Warrior, who will be managing the DUP side of things on the day and have been helping out so much getting all the lists sorted on DUP. We are using their DUP account today just to hit refresh for the purposes of this podcast. So, Denise, you can totally, countdown, drum roll, fireworks. I don't know. Something's going
to
happen.
I'm just going to let you click refresh and you can like reveal them to us and just see our live reactions. Go for it, dude.
Okay. So here's the downside. Anyone who's used DUP, I've already pressed it, by the way. Anyone who's used DUP knows that there's a big loading bar. You know, like it says now fetching the round. So just give it a sec. Sorry, it is loading.
Lovely.
Okay, I'm done.
Awesome. All right, give us our first pairing.
We have the very first matchup on table one, starting high. We have Oliver Johnson versus Zach DeGlass.
Ooh, awesome. Luke, so what I'll do, I'll load up the first player's list. So I'll load up Oliver's list and you can load up Zach's list.
Awesome.
Sounds so good. I've just got it here.
Zach's here.
Oh, sick. Nice.
What faction have you got, Denise?
I've got Oliver Johnson playing Death Guard. So he's got a Death Guard battalion of Inexorable. He's got the Foul Blightspawn, never leave home without him, with the Stench Fats. He's got a Demon Prince and a Caster. 10 cultists, 10 poxies, 10 poxies, unit of Blight Lords, triple Vaultkite Contemptor, double Plague Burst Crawler, and a unit of 3 Death Shroud. So a big tanky list, but a lot of shots coming out of this. I'm just looking for Tallyman. I'm looking really hard for Tallyman.
Control F. Fine, Tallyman.
Tallyman the Tollkeeper is there. So yes, this thing I'm scared of. Okay. So I'm very happy that Zach got it. Luke, what has Zach got?
All right, so Zach coming up against the Death Guard there. Zach has brought himself some Sisters of Battle or Adeptus Sororitas. And he's got Celestine, Morven Val. He's got 20 Battle Sisters, 5 Battle Sisters, 5 Battle Sisters. These are all in a Valorous Heart battalion, I should say. And then he's
Resistance to Mortal Wounds.
He's got 3 Crusaders, 2 Crusaders, 10 Repentia, 10... I always butcher this name. Sacristans? Sacristans?
They're pronounced village people, Luke.
Village people. All right. The Sisters Sacred of the Village croissants. People. He's got a Dogmata. He's got Seraphim, 5 Dominions, 5 Zephyrim. Then he's got 3 Penitent Engines, 5 Retributors. 5 Retributors with each have 4 Multi-Melters and 2 Cherubs, you know. The usual kit.
Really interesting.
And single Rhino.
We've got a list that can actually kill these Death Guard vehicles. So it's kind of interesting. All right, so I'm not familiar with the matchup, but Liam, having played both these armies, what are you thinking on Surround and Destroy?
So I was already thinking when you were reading through the list, I was thinking to myself that the Death Guard list could pick out the teeth in the Sisters list right up until you got to the one Rhino at the end. That Rhino will actually make so much difference in this game because he's going to put those units of... Retributors, or as GW calls them, Retributors, in the Rhino, and that'll sort of keep them safe from the Death Guard shooting, which is actually going to be awesome. This is pretty much going to be a game of mobility versus durability and damage. Like, the Sisters are so much faster and have so much more tricks to make them guarantee the charges, but the Death Guard are undeniably more durable, and I'd say the vast majority of those units hit harder too. So it's really going to be a very interesting game.
Yeah, nice. I think we've frothed over this matchup, and I've realized, Liam, if we do 2 minutes per matchup, that takes us nearly an hour, right? So we've got to keep moving. So I'm going to make sure I don't go through these lists too heavily. What's the next matchup we have?
Next, we continue on our theme of... Oh, actually, I don't think it's Death Guard. I'm so sorry. We have Michael Mientes playing Brent Piggott from the Normal Blokes.
All right, Brent. I'll load up Mr. Meningitis's list. I mean, Mientis's list.
I got the pigeons. I got the pigeons.
Mikey is a loving patron to our channel, so hello, Mikey. So Mikey's got nothing dies harder than a bad idea. So it looks like he's got a Craftworlds battalion with a lot of Dire Avengers, some striking scorpions, my goodness, some shining spears, some warp spiders, some dark reapers, and some night spinners. Hey, there's no Drakari here. It's all Craftworlds. Sick. So it's got 2 Dark Reaper units, 2 Spinner units, a support platform, and then spiders, shining spears. Yeah, wow. So, dude, props to Mikey. He's playing Futtar. And who's he versing? Yeah. Like, what's he
traditional,
versing?
Traditional other. He's versing Brent Piggott, who's brought a little bit of mix of Chaos. It looks like Chaos Knights plus the old Bellicor here. So he's got Chaos Knight Megara, and this is in, I'm trying to find the household. It is Lucarius, I think. Anyway, he's got a Knight Megara.
Lucarius is rad.
I don't even know what it does, so I'm glad I'm not versed in it. He's got a Megara, a Rampager. He's got four War Dogs with Thermal Spears and Reaper Chain Cleavers, and then another War Dog with the same thing. So five War Dogs total, and then he's got Bellicor and three Nurglings in a patrol.
Ooh.
So interesting.
This is going to be a cool game because you've got like the MSU versus the big Stompies.
Yeah, and the Stompies can actually fight really cool. too. So
yeah.
The Stompies can fight just super quick. Lucarius is +1 to hit in the first round of combat and have a sick like flyby strat where you move over stuff and do mortals. So basically anything that Brent touches dies, but Mikey has a lot of things that can fly all around the table. So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, that's a cool game. All right, Liam, what do we have next?
No Wuckers. So on table three, we have Brayden Kilby Francis versus Daniel Jones.
Ooh, nice. I'll get Brayden's list up. Dan Jones is one of the local BGC hobby champions. So it's really cool to see him in an event. So Brayden's running Dark Angels. We've got some Deathwing Command Squads, a big Deathwing Terminator unit, Ravewing Apoth, another big Terminator unit, and then a patrol with Talon Master and really cool tech choice. 2x5 infiltrators. I think that's really good in marine lists at the moment to stop all this forward deploying stuff. I would have liked to see a 10-man, but 2x5 is still solid. And then two Relic Contemptors, fully kitted with Volkites and Cyclones. And hit us with Dan's list, Lukey. I think you'll love it.
Dan's running some Necrons. He's running Nihilak? Is that right? I'm going to guess it's right.
Have you never heard of it, Luke? Is that why?
I've never heard of... Dude, I'm so out of touch. I haven't heard of half of these. So we got to
be offended when he listens to this.
I apologize in advance then. I've got a Technomancer. He's got two Crypto Thralls. He's got Canoptic Spiders. He's got two squads of three of them. And then he's got Scarab Squarms. He's got 3x9 units. Sorry. Whoa. 3x9 man units, I should say. Then he's got it's full Canoptech list, this one.
That's beautiful.
And then he's got the 3x4 squads of Canoptech Wraiths as well.
And Nihilak makes it all OBSEC, hey?
Yeah, so Nihilak makes it all OBSEC and you get a bonus to your save if you're in your deployment zone. So it's really, really good at doing the mission, and their strat is shoot and do actions. So there's one of the Nephron secondaries that Canoptech units can do the action. So I'm seeing that get a lot of mileage in this list. It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we're looking at two lists that can stand on the other side of the board from each other and just stay alive. That's lovely.
And just to finish off, he's got the three Doomstalkers as well.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. I know you have a bad experience from them, Denise.
Oh, mate. No, not again.
Do I even want to know?
They supporting fire, which is lovely.
Oof.
All right, next story.
We're going to keep soldiering on. On table four, we have a Simon Godjkovic playing Josh Engelke. There's too many Ks in both of these names. I don't know how to say Josh's last name. I'm so sorry. It's Josh Engelke.
Josh is one of the Adelaide boys that's coming up, which is exciting.
Oh, awesome.
Welcome
to Queensland, Josh. We don't pronounce real names here.
I'll open up Big Simo's list. So, Drakari and Craft Worlds. Nice, nice, nice. So we're giving up a few things. We're giving up some Power from Pain. We're giving up Herd. But we've got a Cult of Strife detachment with a competitive Edge Succubus, some Witches, and then we've got some Obsidian Rose with Archon Trueborn Cabs. A bunch of transports, and then expert crafters, masterful shots, spearhead, with an Autarch Skarner. Now this is cool. Some fire dragons, some wolf fighters, some shining spears, three Nets of Reapers with Tempest plus long range fire, and then two Falcons and a Night Spinner. So the Falcons, I think, are key here to keep the Reapers safe. And what is Simon playing against, Lukey?
So he's playing against Josh, who's bringing the first Grey Knights list of the night. So Josh is running two detachments here. The first one is the Phil Burris Patrol. It's one Grandmaster Dreadknight, Brotherhood Tech Marine, two Nemesis Dreadknights as well. And these all have the heavy side cannons, Gatling silencers, so expect a lot of shots from them. And a strike squad just to fill out that patrol. And then the second detachment is a Rapier's Patrol. Rapier's Patrol. And it's got another Grandmaster Nemesis Dreadknight. So that's four Dreadknights in total. Brotherhood Libby, three Strike Squads and two Interceptor Squads and a Rhino.
And nice. And me and Ben on the first part of the show, we were recording recording and looking at the Grey Knight list, and most of them, bar one, Nick Argent, has this Nemesis Dread Knight kind of build associated with it. So it's going to be really cool to see how it goes. What do you think, Liam, on this one?
This is kind of tough, right? Because pretty much, so one of the cool durability things that GKs have is the always counters in cover, and Simon's got old ignores cover from Craft Worlds because the codex is old. So it actually ignores the benefits of cover in general, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So that's actually going to be really, really handy in this matchup. But by the same token, pretty much everything being 2-up, 4-up, like the Dread Knights, is a really tough profile to shoot through. I'm quite interested because for once a list that has Craft Worlds has like no Farseer, no Psyker. So
yes.
Really, Josh is going to have complete free reign in the psychic phase with no holds barred. That might be a little bit tough for Simon to contend with, but Simon is a veteran player who's got more Eldari games under his belt than almost anyone else I know. So look, that's going to be a cool game to watch.
That's so interesting. It opens up the field for a ball, which is nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, it does.
That's a good play. Fair cop.
All right, Liam, hit us up. What's the next one?
Denise, you are making a surprise appearance on table
it's
five.
Me. Ooh,
you,
who am I playing?
Sir, are versing Gary Levitt.
Oh, do I get to talk about my own list? That's great.
I'll get up Denise's list.
Okay.
I'm kidding. You can talk about your list, Denise.
I'm taking Deathwatch. So I'm taking a Deathwatch battalion, got some characters, got three Redemptors, got a lot of infantry, so 2x10 Proteus teams with Bikers, Vanguard Vets, whatever, and then I got a Flamer unit with 7 Combi Flamers, and then I've got a Centurion unit, an Assault Scent unit, and then I've got a Spectrus team that I'm really trying out with 5 Infiltrators and 5 Eliminators, which I've realized if I string them out at max coherency, as a 10-man, I can block off 54 inches of the midboard. I also dropped my Libby, so I'm taking a Reaver Lieutenant with Lord of Deceit to redeploy that unit, which is going to be a bit fun. But I've lost my Corvus, so it's all the ground game here, boys. Who am I playing?
You're versing Gary Levitt. Hopefully he's brought enough to beat your triple Dreadnoughts, which I've never seen you lean out. He's on Dark Angels, that's correct. So he's got a Lieutenant, Primaris Captain on a Chaplain on bike, and Samael. He's got Ravenwing Apoth, Ravenwing Black Knights, a 7-man squad. He's got a Attack Bike squad, 3-man with multi-melters, and then he's got another squad with no multi-melters on that one.
Just a bike unit,
Just bike unit, that's right. Invader, ATV squad, 3-man squad with multi-melters. So there's a lot of multi-melters here for you, Denise. He's got an Outrider squad. Look at this, like, this is a lot of multi-melters. Outrider squad, and then Nephilim jet fighter and a Ravenwing Dark
Tower. So Death on the Wind is a thing.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not combat squad.
Dark Talon's going to sting, actually.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. Yep. I'm definitely like afraid to combat squad here because Dark Angels have that secondary where if a Ravenwing unit moves more than I think 12 inches and kills a thing, he gets a victory point. So he can, if I combat squad stuff, he can literally get like 10 points in 2 turns. So wow, this is gonna be a cool game. I really hope I don't go second.
so many multi-levels.
Cool. Well, we can move on, Liam.
Man.
Oh, sorry.
Hot on your heels, Lukey. You, sir.
Oh, level right.
6 are playing Dan Savage.
Suck shit.
Just so everybody knows, this was at the last Gladiator Gaming Singles, was the final top table for the win. So it's essentially a rematch first round. So that's going to be a long, hard morning, that will be.
All right, Luke.
Much
you
to
can
the
talk
relief
about,
of our many other players, Luke.
Sorry?
Yep. Everyone can turn off. Everyone can turn off all blokes right now. We're good for round one.
I'm taking the shield. Jesus.
Hey, Luke. I know we actually did discuss Dan's list on the first part of the show, but give us a recap on your list.
Yeah. Okay. I'm running basically Drakari, Dark Technomancers majority. So it's basically 9 Kronos, a bunch of troops, 1 Cabalite Trueborn squad, 2 Smash Succubus, 1 Smash Archon. And then we've got 3 Raiders and 2 squads of 10-man Grotesque. So a lot of MSU units, chunky, very meaty, do some hot damage, hard to kill. That's pretty much my list.
Did you just say MSU followed by 2 10-man squads of Grotesques?
two 5-man squads of Grotesques.
Okay, sorry.
If only you could take 10-man.
This is literally not MSU, if that's a thing. Why haven't I seen 10-man squads before? Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
Oh, geez. Well, that'll be an interesting game. I actually picked both you and Dan to end up in like one in like the top two or top four in the final at the end, but
Yep.
All right, Liam, let's move on.
Table seven, we have Matthew Kinman versus Rory Argent. What are those two playing, guys?
Ooh, big Rosa. I'll have a look at Matthew's list. It's
if Rory's not playing T-Suns, I'm going to be disappointed.
Nah, he's not, mate. He's on Ultras. So Matt Kinman's got an inexorable Death Guard list. So he's got a Tallyman with Tollkeeper, some Poxwalkers, a Blightlord Brick, two Contemptors, two Death Shroud units, and two Plagueburst Crawlers. So similar to some of the Death Guard lists we've been seeing. So really good amount of shots. And he's also playing a list that can shoot pretty well.
Yeah, Rory always brings the big guns. So we've got Ultramarine Successor, so Signs of the Forge, Master Artisan. So this is vehicles counters, double wounds, and Master Artisan's reroll one wound. I believe it's one wound now, right? It's been changed to that.
This is about so, yeah. I think
okay,
so.
Okay, yep. Cool. So we've got Chapter Master, Primaris Libri, Primaris Tech Marine with you know, all the bells and whistles on those guys. Two Incursors, one Intercessor Squad, three Redemptor Dreads, three Contemptor Dreads, two Suppressor Squads and a Thunderfire Cannon. This exactly, almost exactly what Rory brought to the team's event.
So, it outshoots the Death Guard.
The caption for this game, sorry, the caption for this game should literally be, hey guys, do you reckon GW wants to sell Contemptors? Like, it's just so many, like, it's silly.
I'm just imagining in Pirates of the Caribbean when a ship rolls up and there's a big broadside to the other ship. That's just going to be this game, just two big broadsides going at each other.
Oh, dear. So many guns.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, whoever goes first and gets a big hit will do okay in this game, but let's move on.
No worries. Table eight, we have Lachlan Gordon versus the sculptor of what's between Magnus's legs himself, Nick Wright.
So we got Lockie Gordon. I'll get his list up. It's I think it's Drakari. Let me just see. Oh, it looks like it's a mixed list. So we got a Black Heart Detachment with some Incubi, some Raiders, a Cult of Strife Patrol with two Succubuses. Succubi, I think it's called, the proper word. Competitive Edge and Precision Blows. Hecatrix with a Morvane's Agonizer in the Blood Bride unit. Some Witches, six Reavers, and then he's got Farseer. Oh, three Knights of Dark Reapers, two Night Spinners, no Falcon Boys. Oh, no. Oh. Luke, who's Lockie playing?
Lockie's playing the infamous Nick Wright. He's playing a list called Engage on All, and I won't say the rest. It's Freebooters, Orcs.
It's great.
Ooh, almost. I was just reading word for word, and then, yeah, anyway.
Engage on All, ooh, fuck.
Warboss on Bike, fancy names that I don't know the name of. 10 Gretchen, Commandos, four Megatrack Scrap Jets. I'm not going to butcher these names so bad. One Dacker Jet, one Waz Bomb Blaster Jet. man, this is crazy. All right. And
you're
the
best
next
person
detachment.
To say these names. Oh, man.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Why'd you give me this, Liz? All right,
you're like the next calm, one. Composed one saying these ridiculous names.
Outrider of Freebooters with a Beast Boss on Squigasaur. Then we've got this is ridiculous. two Mega Track Scrap Jays, two Rucker Truck Squig Buggies. Okay, four Rucker Truck Squig Buggies, five Rucker Truck Squig Buggies. Storm Boys, Dacker Jet. And that's it. I'm done. I'm going to bed.
I like when Luke like finally comes out of his cave and plays an event and he's like, what the hell is this army?
Like, who wrote the names for these things, man?
You sounded like an auctioneer then. You're like, one rocket, no, two rocket, five rocket, trucker, squid buggy.
So a couple of things here. So Lockie Gordon, being in a mixed attachment, doesn't have access to Power from Pain and doesn't have access to Herd the Prey, which is a big, like, it's like a big thing to lose out in the Orc matchup just because the Orcs will be shooting you, like, all game with AP.
But at the same time, Nick's got a lot of units. I think he can take the board pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Lockie can trade as well because he's losing a few things there. Nick can really push out. So it'll be an interesting game to watch.
Of Nick's list is literally engage on all fronts. So imagine what secondary he's going to take.
Yeah.
Stranglehold. And on that bombshell, we have table nine. We have Zach Morgan versus Nick. Is this literally Grey Knights versus Grey Knights? Zach Morgan versus Nick Argent.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go through these lists as much. We went over Nick Argent's list at the start. Zach's Rad. Got Drago, a Grandmaster, a Nemesis, two strike squads, a Brotherhood, a big fat pally unit, two 10-man interceptors, and then two Dreadnoughts. So he's got the three big boys, and then he's got the infantry around it. So it's kind of, this is so interesting. There's like a full infantry army with the purifiers that Nick Argent has. Mm-hmm. Versus this, and I think Nick Argent might have a very slight infantry advantage just because he can play the game a bit better towards the end stage of the game. But I'd actually be really keen to see how the Nemesis Dreadnoughts go in the mirror. What do you think, Luke? You probably know a bit more about this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Nick obviously has a bit more psychic damage with the purifiers, Zach's got a bit more of the durability with the Grandmaster Dreadnoughts because they both have obviously Paladin for Paladin Squad. So yeah, it'll be really interesting. It'll be a good test to see how well the the Dreadnoughts hang up to like the big strength 7 neg 1 damage, neg 1 2 damage.
I'm printing
shots.
A Spider-Man meme for this game.
That's great.
Oh man. Copy it in their list. There you go.
Yeah, next one. Right,
moving along, table 10. We're nearly halfway. We have Michael Wilkinson versus Matthew Peel. We are going to pick up the pace ever so slightly. Are these two playing?
Yeah. I'll pick it up. Michael Wilkinson's on Necrons. He's playing Serikhan, which is exciting. Going through the meat and potatoes, we've got some two big warrior units, little flayed one unit, some Scorpex, locus. So three units of locus destroyers, some Scorpex, and a lot of warriors. So Serikhan, Liam, I believe, is psychic defense as well, right?
It's just 5-up save against mortal wounds in general and reroll a wound. So probably a pretty awesome meta call.
That's actually
considering
a cool meta
GKs
pick.
And T-Stuns.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
Go through Mr. Peel's list, Luke.
I'm going to really apologize. My internet cut out for like a split second.
I'll take it on.
So he's playing, I don't even know the two players. I apologize.
No, that's all right. Raptors, Raven Guard successes. So we've got Chapter Master, Chaplain, Infiltrators, some infantry, an Aggressor unit, a Blade Guard unit, a Centurion Assault unit. I love it. Adjudicare, Redemptor Dreads, some Vanguard Vets, an Invader ATV unit, and a Suppressor unit. So this is really cool. We've got like a Take All Comers Marine list versus a Necron list. I think the Marines outshoot this list, especially on Surround and Destroy, where there's a bit of a gap and there's like a wide front. I think the Marines can just sit back and pepper. But there's
That's
only
fair.
A couple of units like the Aggressors in the Sensor that can actually blow away those big 20 mens. So I'm really keen to see how this game goes, Liam.
I think it'll be sick. And honestly, I actually love Zerikin, and I don't see it too much, but I really rate that tech. So I really hope I'll be looking at this game and seeing how he goes.
Yeah, man.
On the very next table, one over on table 11, we have Wayne Russell versus Hayden Walter. Now this, good luck, Mr. Hard Mode. What are these two people playing?
Wayne Russell presents to you the Brisbane meta is shit, so I'm playing on Hard Mode. Faction, Forces of the Hive Mind. Okay, so we've got a big smashy Hive Tyrant and a Swarm Lord. Swarm Lord tech is nice. 10, 10, 16, 10 Gene Stealers, a single Lictor, and then he's got a GSC Patrol Twisted Helix Patriarch, 3x10 hybrids with 4 Rocksaws, a Metamorph unit, which he's in love with, and 3 Goliath trucks. So he's essentially got 46 Stealers, 4 units of Stealers to start on the board that he can slingshot out, 3 trucks with hybrids inside, and a Metamorph unit. So and he's got 10 Hand Flamers in that Metamorph unit too, and he's playing against Ducky. So Luke, are you up yet?
I'm good. So the Almighty Duck presents I Can't Count Past 2. So he's playing Sisters with 2 detachments. He's basically just got no more than 2 units of everything. But look, so 2 Retributors, Multi-Melters, 2 Dominions, 5 Battle Sisters, Cannoness. And the second detachment has 2x8 Repentia, 1 Sacrescent, Dogmata, Repentia Superior, 3 Crusaders, 10 Zephyrim, and 8 Penitent Engines. So, yeah.
Well, this is really interesting because Wayne's got the ability to slingshot out and hit primary and go high that way. But in some ways, so does Ducky. Like, those penitents are actually a bit annoying for Wayno to manage because they've got the shooting to, like, actually annoy his infantry, but they also fight on death. So he doesn't really want to charge them.
Yeah, they're actually ridiculous.
Yeah, so in this matchup, it's so interesting. And then the retribs can actually start putting damage on like Swarm Lord or the Flyerant or the Transport. So I think it's an uphill battle for our boy Wayne, but it'll be cool to see. Shall we move on, Liam?
50% mark. Table 12, we have David Truman versus Cameron McCulloch.
Ooh, I think David's was the Blood Angels list. Yes, it was. So, yeah, nice. We've got some Redemptors and Attack Bike units. And then we got 5 Blade Guard, 5 Death Company, 5 Vanguard, 5 Vanguard Vets. So we've got this big flying brick rolling forward with 2 Redemptors and some Attack Bikes. Oh, he's got a Whirlwind. Yeah. Don't forget the Whirlwind. Ooh, don't forget the...
Suppressing Fire!
The company good. Champion that's been upgraded with Rites of War. Interesting interesting carrier for Rites of War, not on a jump pack unit, but still pretty solid. Pretty good for the Dreadnoughts, I guess, to sit back. But yeah, who's he playing? Who's David playing?
So he's playing Cameron, and Cameron's running Blood Angels called Black and Gold.
got yeah. Blood Angels Mirror.
So he's got a Colexus Assassin, he's got Lamardis, he's got a Tech Marine, he's got Assault Intercessors, 2x5 Sanguinary Guard, 2x3 Eliminators. Second detachment is a Captain with Teeth of Terror, Jump Pack. He's got, how many? Two Death Company Dreadnoughts, 3x5 Death Company Jump Pack Marines, and 5 Sanguinary Guard, and another Eliminator squad.
So a little bit less characters. A little bit less elite, yeah. I really, you know, it's funny. This Colexus Assassin tech is actually going to be kind of cool because of the Fight Last strat that it has.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Fight Last that count. Well, it's like toe to toe with the Whirlwind, right?
Yeah, it doesn't count to the Whirlwind, but it's like it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't think we need to talk too much about this because it is just a BA mirror. But that'll be really exciting to see.
They're going
to
hit each other.
Yeah. All right. Next one off the mark.
On table 13, we have more green than anyone's going to know what to do with. We have Eric Latheris playing Alex Terrison.
Oh, spicy. So I'll run through Eric's list. He's playing Tyranids.
I got the orcs.
I can cover the orcs as well, Lukey. Don't worry. Really cool custom hive fleet that Eric's running. He's got Bimetallic Cysts and Pack Hunters. So pretty much gets an extra AP on his Scything Talons. But then Pack Hunters also gives extra AP when he's fighting against stuff that's got less numbers than him, if that makes sense. So he can get his claws to neg 2 AP, which is handy because he's got a lot of claws. He's got a Smash Flying Hive Tyrant. He's got a Tyranid Prime. He's got 7-7-7-7-5 Tyranid Warriors with Scything Talons. He's got the Red Terror. He's got a Lictor. And 3 Tyrant Guard, which is really interesting. 8 Raveners. A Trigon, 2 Biovores, Broodlord, 5 Gene Stealers. So really, really cool bit of tech that he's got here. I need to look up what High Fleet Gorgon does and what their strat is, but that's pretty cool what he's got down there. Liam, do you know off the top of your head?
I never heard of you.
Yeah, cool. So we're going to get surprised by High Fleet Gorgon. They might have a power that's really good on that Broodlord. But yeah, Luke, did you want to go through Alex Terrison's list?
I'll look it up.
Because we did actually go through it at the start, but it's a buggy-based list.
Okay. I just want to emphasize first. Yeah, you can summarize it, but I just want to say Eric's list, for those that don't know, was randomized purely by dice rolls. So every unit he's got, he's rolled for at the data sheet, and then he's built a list off that. So very interesting. All right, now hit Alex's list. Go.
Yeah, so Alex has got the speed war. We talked about it in the first half of the episode. He's got like 13 or 14 buggies. And he's got, ton of buggies, 2 planes, a couple of smash characters. He's got the infantry to back it up. So plays a really good shooting game, but also plays his secondaries really well and can steal primary with the truck boys. So I'm kind of thankful that I'm not catching either of these guys round one. So what do you guys think? Liam?
I got to be honest. I'm so glad that I'm not playing Alex.
Yeah.
That Speedwire list is oppressive, and I am glad that he's going to have plenty of targets to shoot. I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, I've got Poisonous Influence up, which is a psychic power that increases the AP further of friendly models. And the great thing about a lot of the Nids powers is they aren't locked to High Fleet. It just says friendly models. So Eric's all of a sudden got neg 3 AP claws.
I'm glad I have Invo saves.
Finds a little niche thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, cool. Man, this is going to be a cool game. I think there's a bit of an upper hand to the orcs here. What do you boys think?
It's got a lot of shooting.
The orcs have a codex, right?
Yeah.
Let's be real. But I'm going to keep chugging along. This is going to be a tough round, I think, for both these opponents. But on table 14, we have Kalen Rice-Levitt versus Nathan Meach.
Ooh, I'll get Kalen to stop. So I believe Kalen's a Grey Knight list, same kind of thing. Grandmaster and then some Nemesis Dreads. So he's got three Nemesis Dreads and a Grandmaster, plus a Pally unit, plus an Apoth, three strike units and Drago. So and a Libby as well. So these big, chunky Grey Knight lists are interesting because they don't give up a boar as easily, if that makes sense, because it's like harder to put the big stuff down. But you can go through Nathan's list, Luke.
Yeah, this one's really easy. There's not one there for me to go through. So,
interesting.
That'll definitely have to be followed up.
Yeah, we'll look at that.
And we'll move on.
Nathan may have dropped from the event. That's all right. We'll move on, Liam. Sorry.
Okay.
So we have Sam Rubino versus Daniel Burns.
Oh, cool. So I'll cover Sam's list. It's a bit of druk, bit of druk. So I think he's got Obsidian Rose for the Raiders and the Trueborn, which is nice. You get a reroll wound. He's got blood. A Cult of Strife detach with a Succubus, 10 Blood Brides. He loves his 2x10 Hellions, which is great. And then he's got six Cronus as well in Dark Techno with two Raiders. So he's got like a half between he's got the Trueborn boat. He's got the six Cronus. This was kind of what you were looking at, Luke, beforehand until you moved on to the nine Cronus. And I think it'll do really well. And let's talk about his opponent.
Yeah, so Dan Burns is running some demons, and this is the monster mash that I only could dream of. It's Exalted Lord of Change, it's Bellicor, it's 10 demonets, 2x5 Furies, Mark and Nurgle with the 5 of Fender Pain, that's awesome. Another battalion with three Exalted Keeper of Secrets, 3x10 demonets, or 5x10 demonets, sorry, and 3x1 Fiends. So that's a lot of monsters.
I think the Drakari Flamers go pretty well into this.
Yeah, just because they can, you know, you want to charge, you're going to cop a whole shooting phase.
But in saying that, Dan Burns will push your shit in if you leave him unchecked. So, you know, that list goes first. Ooh, baby. I'm keen to see it.
Yeah, and he does have Bellicor and stuff to answer for the Imbo stuff. So yeah. It's pretty good. Going to be interesting.
That's going to be a bloodbath, one way or another. Is. Like, someone's getting tabled, you know what I mean?
What's the next matchup, Liam?
Neck, we have in table 16, Rob Hambley versus Luke Coyle. Ooh. Hang on, this isn't an ad mech mirror, is it?
No, I think Luke's on Death Guard.
On Death Guard, you're right.
Rob's list. So straight up, he's Mars. So big bonus for the Skitarii. They're getting the canicles, and you got Wrath of Mars cranking. So a couple of Marshals. Buffed up nicely, Tech Priest, Manipulus, 15 Rangers, 5 Rangers, 19 Rangers, 5 Vanguard, 5 Vanguard. Sorry, the 19 was a Vanguard unit. So he's got still two of the big bricks, 5-5 Infiltrators, 10 Rustalkers. He's got the Ballistari, 3 in there. Then we've got 9 Sterilizers, and then he's got a front of 9 Doggos, Raiders, and 2 Bombers. So interesting list here. It's some parts are similar with Dan's list, but Dan's got Metallica, obviously. So I really like the option to Wrath of Mars on stuff like the Sterilizers, and he's got the planes, the Fusilabs to do stuff. So Luke, go through Luke's Luke, talk about Luke's list.
Happy to. So we got Death Guard of the Harbingers. He's got Mortarion here, and then he's got Talaman, Malignant Plaguecaster, 30 Poxwalkers, 2 Contemptor Dreadnoughts, Volkites, 3 squads of Deathshroud Terminators, 1 Foul Blightspawn, 2 Plagueburst Crawlers, and that'll wrap up the list. That's a very, very elite Death Guard list, isn't it?
Ooh, I think that's kind of the target the AdMech want to jump on, right?
Definitely a lot of good targets for him to focus down. I mean, the Death Guard durability in general, though, counters quite a lot. Like, just the 2-up saves and availability of stuff is actually pretty good in ad mech shooting, especially if it gets a decent table, some loss blocking, and also some decent light cover. It can actually be quite good both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and definitely. I think the fact that Rob's got Wrath of Mars up his sleeve is going to be really handy in big situations here. He's also got the 100%. He's also got Temporacopia on the big 10-man Rustalker unit, which is a fight's last relic, so that's going to be super handy. But all right, we'll move on. It's exciting.
Very next, we have Brian Lakeland versus Ivan Burnoff. So just quickly before diving into this one, Brian and I have played quite a few practice games. So Brian definitely knows what Thousand Suns can do. So I'm so sorry to Ivan, who's maybe relying on a bit of new codex unknowns. Unfortunately, Brian will definitely know what your book does. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, nice. I'll really quickly go through Brian's list. He's got a Master Succubus. He's got a Fight Last Archon. He's got Rezai. He's got the Morvan's Agonizer Whip Girl. You get a 9 Reavers, 10 Venoms, tons of racks, 3 units of Incubi, and a single Cronus, and we're done.
Yeah, nice. Ivan's got T-Sons. He's got Ahriman, Demon Prince, 5 Rubriks, 20 Zangors, 10 Terminators, 2-4 Chaos Spawn, and then he's got a Cult of Duplicity, second attachment, 2 Exalted Sorks, 15 Rubriks, and a Chaos Contemptor with Volkites.
The Duplicity tech is really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm a fan.
I play with it. I love the... I even played with the old one, and I loved it, so...
Nah, look, T-Sons have heaps of cool tricks. This is going to be pretty hectic because Brian knows that he can kill T-Sons stuff, but it's very terrain dependent. It's kind of what we learned in our games. So good luck to both of those two. To be honest, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, nice. All right, who's next, Liam?
Table 18, we're getting to the pointy end. By this, I mean bottom tables. Obviously, we're starting low. 18, we have me playing Will Milton.
Hey, nice.
So... I'll super quickly go through mine. My T-Sons list is way more simple than Ivan's. I am playing 60 infantry, 50 Rubik Marines, and 10 Terminators in a detachment. That's all Cult of Timey-Wimey, the Cult of the Clock, with 2 Rhinos, Ahriman, and an Exalted Sorcerer. That's it. 2,000 points on the nose. The only real cool stuff here is that I can restore models, and I'm just hoping that I'm Obsec and Fearless and I stand in the right place. What's Will playing?
You want Will to take this one, D?
Yeah, sure. Raven Guard Successor, Born Heroes, Warlord of Rage, classic. It's a really strong one at the moment. Got a Chappie on bike. We've got a Phobos Captain with Rites of War. Got some infantry, 2 Relic Contemptors, 2 Redemptors, 2x10 Vanguard Vets, and 2 Landspeeder Storms that I sold him at the last team event. So, yeah, cool list. Bad. Very, very mobile. And a Dreadnought line. Liam, how do you think you're going to go?
I am going to roll smites. That is my plan. And all I will roll smites and models. All 3 damage, of course. And then the best part is I'll pick up his dice and then roll an 11 for smite and do 6. Huh. That's how it works.
You don't really like lightning claws, do you?
You know, they're actually not like the fact that I get a 4-up save on unbuffed Marines against lightning claws isn't horrible. But I all my guns are AP2, so look, I'm pretty good at fighting Vanguard vets. I think the problem for me in this game will be the dreads.
Yeah, true. Kind of like our game, like you gotta kind of get the shooting to them.
Yeah, it's like I can deal with the infantry, but the dreads are hard. The thing for me is that because I can restore models, my army has quite a lot of tricks. So like I can teleport and restore models and get the dreads in combat and do a whole bunch of other silly nonsense. So yeah, look, there's a few different things I can do. I've played quite a few practice games against Will as well. I've been playing my Necrons or various other sort of lists. So I've played, I think, this exact list on a number of occasions. So yeah, I actually know this inside and upwards. Will, I'll see you round 1.
Nice. All right. Next
table 19. We have Ethan Jones versus Micah Burnoff.
Nice. So Ethan's like Dan Jones, one of the local guys at BGC. He's running Guard. He's running Talan. So we got tank commanders, company commanders, tons of infantry as expected, some heavy weapons teams, autocannons, mortars, and then a battalion with Yarrick, some more tank commanders, and some more infantry, and some sentinels, and a big, sexy unit of 3 hellhounds. So, a lot of vehicles plus the MSU. So that's a lot of stuff on the table. And let's talk about this opponent.
Yeah, he's running some Grey Knights. We've got a Grandmaster Dread, Librarian, Kaldor Drago, 15 Strikes, 2 squads of Servitors, 2 3-man Paladin squads, which I actually really like here, and then 25 Interceptors and 2 Rhinos.
Damn. So
nice MSU, very small. But
bodies.
I'm loving the 2 units of Servitors.
Yeah, they're great for actions.
No, they're actually legit. They are. They're amazing. Like shit kicker. And they still
get
the
fiver. I'm laughing because I totally get it. Like, I 100% get it because it's like little crypto, the crypto jimmies, if you're playing Necrons. Did little two-man units.
They get the
like,
five up to psychic still, don't they?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. They're actually sick.
But the three-man paladins work because paladins actually drop down to you can run a minimum of three. And ooh, they still get two power. They know two powers, but they can still cast one. But it's really good because they've gone from like this big meat and potatoes of your list to a Swiss Army knife, so to speak.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's right. You use them more as a scalpel rather than the hammer.
Yeah. Even though these both have hammers. But yeah.
Yeah, I think
That's fair. I'll be quiet.
Poor Ethan's going to miss having like a full payload manticore in the back here against his GK lineup. But
three damage would be so juicy.
I know, right? But I think this GK list can actually just punch on through guardsmen. So Ethan's got to work hard. But yeah, all right, let's move on to the next one, Liam.
Table 20, we're nearing the end. We have Chase Price versus Lorenzo Moro Todd.
Oh, cool. So it's a Marine game. So Chase is running Dark Angels. He's got some Talon Masters, some Contemptors, some Attack Bikes, little command squads and some characters, which is nice. And Lorenzo actually messaged us about some conversions, and I'm really looking forward to see his Space Wolves in action, but I'll just go through that now. So he's got Born Heroes, Whirlwind of Rage, which for everyone listening is an amazing successor for Space Wolves because you still retain the strat to heroic and then you get all these combat bonuses and it stacks with your Doctrine and life's good. A lot of infantry, Blood Claws, Assault Intercessors, which are really good in Wolves, and Blade Guard, Redemptor, Contemptor. And then the secret source that Wolves get is cheaper Wolf Guard, so cheaper Storm Shields and Lightning Claws and stuff. So he's got three Wolf Guard units and some little Cyber Wolves to be niggly and some Thunder Cav and some Eradicators. So I think it's going to be a bit of a hard game for the DA here. I think the Wolves list is really, really cool. But, especially for the mission. But yeah, let's move on.
Table 21, getting towards the end, we have Adam Napier all the way from South Australia playing Luke Moffat.
Yeah, nice. Luke, did you want to go through Napier's Drakari list?
Yeah, I can do. Let me just grab it. So Napier's running three patrol in Drakari. He's got Drazar, it's Dark Technomancer Patrol, so Drazar, Rax, Rax, Rax. So three squads of Rax, two squads of two patrols. Rax, and one Raider. So these are running Electric Corrosive Whip, Hex Rifle, and Ossifactors, which are really annoying to deal with. Then we've got Cabal Blackheart Patrol, so Archon, Trueborn, your Swiss Army Knife, Trueborn, Incubi, Raider, four Raiders there, and another Final Patrol of Strife with Succubus, Smash Succubus with 1, 2, 3 Witches, a squad of Incubi, and a squad of Mandrakes.
Nice. And he's playing Luke Moffat. Is that right, Liam?
Yeah, he is.
So Luke Moffat's named his list Ulrich von Lichtenstein and his Merry Squires. That's a fucking great. So he's playing Imperial Knights. He's playing House Raven. So he's got a Preceptor. And then he's got three Warglaives, two Moraxes. So 11 little knights and a big Preceptor, which gives rerolls to him. So that's actually pretty tricky for Drakari.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
You can't take after herd, the Trueborn, right? Yeah, you really can't take herd. So.
Yeah,
it's man, I was just internally laughing at how Luke can't pronounce the orc unit names, but he just rolls into Drakari. Oh, yeah, the Electro Kafuckers, Mucka Lips, and all this, other than it's just fine, rolls off the tongue, no worries.
I'm keen to see how Adam Napier rolls out of this one. This is an interesting game.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
Going on to table 22, I'm sorry, I'll keep us marching along. We have Mr. Paul Gurney playing Jai Kalaman.
All hail.
The Jylan.
So big guns.
The Jylan King.
Big guns has moved
on
to
Orcs.
He better
be playing Necrons.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
So Paul's moved on to Orcs because he got too bored of beating people with Iron Hands. So he's got some mechs, he's got some dragsters, he's got six scrap jets and four squig buggies. He's got a big Warbiker unit, which is kind of cool, and he's got two Dacker jets. So similar to some of the other Orc lists, a lot of shooting. Paul's gone a little bit lighter on the infantry, but he's still got the MSU commandos and Storm Boys. He's just, he doesn't have the truck boys. I can't see them here. But let's go through his opponent's list.
Yeah, so Jai's got Novok here. He's got Cryptocrawl, Cryptothrall, Chronomancer, Illuminator Zeris, and an Overlord. He's got 1, 2 Immortals, so 20 Immortals, and then 20 Necron Warriors. And then he's got 10 Deathmarks, 10 Lich Guard, and the Gyalant King himself.
Oh, yes. All hail. So,
man after my own heart. I'm glad you went Nevok Jai. I'm very glad.
Yeah, nice, nice. Nevok is the money. It pushes him out, and you got the bonuses in the combat protocol as well, so that's good. Yeah, sure. All right, we're on to the last couple of tables, aren't we, Liam?
We're on to our very last table, actually. Ooh, nice. We have on table 23. There are going to be 24 tables, but we currently have a buy round, depending on if anyone drops out. Yeah. So on table 23, we have Peter Angell, forgive me for pronunciation, playing Josh McGowan.
Yeah, nice. Oh, so Peter's another one of our local guys at BGC, and Peter's been he's playing a Custode and Scion list, and I've actually been helping get his army together. So I've got some Dreadnoughts and stuff and some Scions that are going. I'll just load up his list. Sorry, I've just lost him completely. There we go. So we have Shadowkeepers. We've got Trajan. We've got a Dawn Eagle Captain. We've got some Shield Guard. We've got a Sagittarium unit, which is kind of cool in the backfield. Two of the Galatas Dreads, which are the Sword Lads with Eternal Penitent. A unit of 3 Venatari and a big boy Telamon. Nice. Then we've got, I think, some really cool tech, Aeron Gorgones. Militarum Tempestus Patrol. Fuck, say that 5 times. A Tempestor Prime. 3 MSU units of Scions. And then a Melter unit of Scions. So this little patrol just gives you access for engagement on fronts cheaply and for Rod pretty cheaply while your big Custodes do all the heavy lifting. So I really like it. And McGowan's list is also a guard list. I love it. And you can go through it, Luke.
Yeah, it's Lamb and Lion, so Denise's favorite. We've got 2 Tempestor Primes, 2 Command Squads with Max Melter Guns, and then his troops, he's got 1, 2, 3 Plasma Squads of Scions, a big 10-man squad with Plasmas, another 10-man squad with Hotshot Volleys, and another 5-man Bearburn squad, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Torox Primes, and then a second Vostroian Detachment is 2 Tank Commanders with Demolish Cannons, Melters, 1 platoon commander, 20 guardsmen, and that'll wrap up the list.
Yeah, this list is really interesting because there's plasma everywhere. There's Melter as well. But all the Tauroxes, instead of the hotshot volleys, have got autocannons. So Josh McGowan has, I'm just trying to think, the whole army has something silly like close to 100 damage 2 shots.
Yeah.
Like, it's a crazy amount of damage too. So he's looking out for that Dan Savage game, isn't he? He's looking out for the Grey Knights and the T-Suns game because this list just sprays down damage too.
Yeah, it's actually quite fast too.
I looked at this list and realized it can pretty much table me in a single turn.
Yeah, wow.
That's crazy.
Actually hectic.
Like, cool. I don't mind it as much as I got Dreadnoughts and Negwan damage, but yeah, this is a lot of shooting.
Bit rude. so to top it off, on table 24, we currently have a buy round, and in that round we have Dylan Close. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody is dropping, we probably will do a bit of repairing, so watch the space there. To my understanding, Dylan can't come to round one, is that right, Denise?
Yeah. So we had no opponent for Kaelin before, so we could even move Dylan into that spot and just check for drops. But funnily enough, Dylan, you know, great to see you. It'll be great to see you at the event, but having a drop in round one actually gives us a bit of flexibility to do stuff like this, so it helps us a bit. So thank you, Dylan. We'll see you in round 2. But yeah. Wow, we made it, guys. Sorry if I was a bit slow. What's that taken us to? Not about 50 minutes of slow content.
Mate, your words per minute was off the charts.
Oh, really? Did I go full Adam Camilleri? Fuck yeah.
You talk like a professional StarCraft player clicks. Now I can clicks a minute. It's incredible.
Nice.
But in all seriousness, looking forward to the weekend. It's going to be an absolutely mad long weekend of 5 rounds of competitive hammers. This is so awesome to see for a Brisbane event. I know you guys have already mentioned it, I'm sure, in part one, but this event has got some really big names for competitive 40K, not just in Queensland, but in the country. It's going to be a really tough event, and I don't foresee a world where I go 5 rounds without playing at least 2 or 3 really hard games.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to just go. I'd be very happy 3-2ing this event just because of who's in the field. It'll be lovely.
It's a big Shark Tank, even though it's like 50 player event. Big Shark Tank.
Big Shark Tank. And look, it's on the other side of that coin, though, it's super cool to see like a whole bunch of new players that are dipping their toes into this event. And I hope you all have a good game a good event and some good games and realize, even though these guys are quite good at the game, that will be there, the veteran players, they can still give you a great experience and you'll learn a lot from it.
And so, come and share a beer at the event.
That's it. Yeah,
definitely. And thanks to the guys from Adelaide for coming up. That's awesome that we get some.
Yeah, it's awesome they're coming up from Adelaide. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And look, it'll be really super keen to just catch up with them as well. Because, we had a good time with them at Uprising at the start of the year. But hey, guys, anything we want to add before we finish up?
Nope. See you all on Saturday.
Yeah. I'll quickly mention, we're doing tournament set up on Friday afternoon. We've got some hands on deck, but anyone who's free on the north side at the Brook, feel free to drop in and say hi and also help, set up a couple of tables. That'll be lovely.
I will pay you in beer.
Yes, I will also pay you in beer, maybe pizza. But yeah, I think on that note, we'll see you all at the GT and take it easy.
Have a good night, guys.